Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has said that one of his driving principles is move fast and break things. Unless you are breaking stuff, you aren't moving fast enough. Zuckerberg explained more at a TechCrunch event a couple of years ago.
You know, sometimes we go too fast and we mess up a bunch of stuff and then we have to fix it. Yep. And that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool if you're talking about an algorithm. But maybe not so cool if what you're breaking is democracy. And that's what Jonathan Taplin says tech giants like Facebook, Google, and Amazon are in fact doing. He says they're modern-day monopolies that are breaking down democracy. Taplin is the director emeritus of the Annenberg Innovation Lab at the University of Southern California. His new book is Move Fast and Break Things: How Facebook, Google, and Amazon Cornered Culture and Undermined Democracy. He joins us from the studios of NPR West in Culver City, California. Jonathan Taplin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you. So make the case for us. How is it that Facebook, Google, and Amazon are undermining democracy?
Well, you know, I have to get a little bit of historical perspective. When the internet was first conceived by Tim Berners-Lee and Vint Cerf and other people, the whole idea was to decentralize network control. We were living in a world where there were three TV networks and maybe one newspaper in any city, and so that was a good idea. But 10 years later, in the 80s, Peter Thiel came out of Stanford, Larry Page came out of Stanford, Jeff Bezos was beginning Amazon, and they realized that the internet was really a winner-takes-all business, that there would be one great search giant, there would be one great social network, there would be one great e-commerce giant.
They all realized that early?
Yeah, they really did. I mean, Peter Thiel said very clearly, you know, competition is for losers. That really what was necessary to make a fortune in the internet world, which basically the whole idea was to get to scale. Mm. What's known as the network effect means the more people you have on your network, the more people want to be on your network. Nobody wants to be on a social network where nobody else is or where their friends aren't. So, you know, Facebook can take on, say, Snapchat and basically undermine them deeply by taking all their great ideas and just putting it on Facebook. And who needs Snapchat?
Right.
So these elements began to create these platforms in which supposedly nobody had any control. So both Google and Facebook act as if they have no control of what goes on Facebook or what goes on YouTube. And that, of course, leads to this fake news epidemic that we're going through right now. Because a kid in Macedonia can create a fake news account, put Google AdSense on there so he can make himself some good money, you know, $10,000 a month, and have a Facebook page, he can create the ability, using robots, to bomb the Facebook algorithm, move his post up to the top of the trending topics and get more attention, as the charts have shown in my book, than the real news. In other words, the fake news accounts became more important than the real news.
And this matters only because, I mean, not only, but it matters primarily because Facebook has such giant reach, basically. I mean, if Facebook only had a couple of thousand users, it wouldn't matter at all. And to that point, I mean, you write about, really, I don't think people fully understand or can fathom the size of these companies in their respective spaces, if I can use business speak here a little bit. I mean, Google has, what, 88% of market share in search advertising? And you've written that Facebook with Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger has 77% of mobile social traffic, and Amazon has almost 75% share in ebooks, for example. So they really are enormous companies.
They're not just enormous in terms of their own business sectors. They're the largest companies in the world. You know, 10 years ago, ExxonMobil, Citibank, General Electric were the largest companies in the world. Today, it's Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Microsoft. And so they totally not only dominate the tech world, they dominate politics, and they were able to kind of create a way to get things done that not only is, to my sense, destructive to the news business, because think about what's happened in the news business. You know, revenues in newspapers since Google arrived have dropped by 75%. There are 50% fewer people working in journalism today than there were 10 years ago. In the music business, which, you know, where I came out of and where I first got attention to this notion, the revenues have fallen by 75% as well. And, you know, if you, for instance, have a popular tune and you could get it a million downloads on iTunes, you could make $900,000. If you got a million streams on YouTube, you'd make $900.
Yeah.
And so this is really destructive for the creative classes of America. And these people really don't seem to care much how they're destroying these things.
Jonathan Tamblyn, just let me jump in here because, I mean, as you well know, the classic sort of business response to that is what you're describing is Clay Christian-esque disruption. That's just what happens when industries become static, when they lack innovative muscle. They are going to get disrupted by companies that start out small, try new things, and turn out to do those things better.
Yeah, but are they doing things better? Is the news ecology that we live in today, with 50% of the people who think that Facebook is their primary source of their news, are they getting better information than they got 10 years ago? I would say no. Look, it's fine to create improvements in the world. And, you know, I couldn't live without a search engine. I probably couldn't live without Amazon in some way. But the point that we have to ask ourselves is, are we really making this better? Is the music business better today than it was 10 years ago? I would argue no. 80% of the revenue in the music business last year went to 1% of the content. That means that Jay-Z and Adele and Taylor Swift are doing really well, and the average middle-class musician can't make a living.
Right. You know, in the past, I mean, you do know because you've written about this, but in the past, whenever the United States has encountered industries or companies that become too big, too powerful, too monopolistic, and therefore perhaps a threat to democracy, there have been solutions, right? We break them up or we regulate them heavily. Is that what you're advocating here for Facebook, Google, and Amazon?
I mean, the only question that I'm asking, is there a market solution to this problem? So ask yourselves, if someone came to you and said, look, I have this great idea. I'm going to start a new search engine to compete against Google. Would you give that person a large amount of money? I doubt it.
Let me just jump in here. I'm going to push back a little because I think that's exactly where the tech sector would say, no, we would give them a lot of money. We would try it out. And if it fails, it fails. But eventually, because once you get funding, the actual barriers to entry for a lot of these businesses are so low that they'll find the next great idea.
That's a total myth. There has not been a new search engine started in 10 years. It just is not true. I mean, and look at, as I used the example of Snapchat before. So Snapchat came up with some really innovative ideas, began to get a really good audience of 120 million people, and Facebook offered to buy them for $3 billion. The people at Snapchat turned them down, and then Facebook just basically turned around and said, okay, your fault. We're going to kill you. And in the last 6 months, they've ripped off every single feature of Snapchat. They don't even change the name. It's now called Facebook Stories instead of Snapchat Stories. And Snapchat's growth has stalled. Their stock has fallen radically to half of what its value was. And they're on their hind legs. So, I mean, this is the way that monopolists act. So my theory is it may be that the only solution is some kind of regulation. Now, from the point of view of musicians, you know, I spent my youth in Boston at the Club 47 in Cambridge. And from their point of view, a simple thing would be to say to YouTube, if I tell you to take something down from YouTube, I want it to stay down. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play this game of whack-a-mole. Every time I file a takedown notice, it goes down, and 2 days later it goes up from another user. That's a fool's game, and that's not a willing buyer, a willing seller. So that's one thing you could do. The second thing we really ought to think about is privacy. I mean, if you think about these three businesses that I'm writing about, their business is surveillance capitalism. They're in only one business, which is renting their databases to advertisers or using their databases to sell you stuff.
I mean, but users are doing so. I hate to say this because I'm a privacy freak myself, but I've got to say, like, users are doing this willingly.
It's true. But think about this. I've been on a book tour. A neurobiologist came up to me 2 weeks ago and said, I'm going to send you a research paper we did that shows that you can use a smartphone, the same thing that tells you how many steps you walked up on your way to the office, to record the tremors of Parkinson's disease. Okay, now are they going to sell that to your health insurance company? Are they going to sell that to your employer? You know, the people from Consumer Reports came to me and said, you may think that your driving auto insurance rates are set by how well you drive. It has nothing to do with that. It's where you drive. Mm-hmm. So if two women lived in Brookline and one of them drives to South Boston to teach at a poor school, her auto insurance rates are going to be 20% higher. Well, where do they get that data? Right. We all know where they get it, yeah, from the smartphone.
Well, Jonathan Taub, let me just get you to say a little bit more specifically what you were getting to earlier. I mean, you do think that there are particular forms of regulation that could be, I mean, political feasibility aside, that could be enacted to curb the monopolistic threat that you see with Facebook, Google, and Amazon, right? Is that right?
So one of the possibilities was the way we handled the AT&T monopoly in the 50s. So AT&T was the monopoly phone company in 1950, and we went to them and said, you have to allow your research and development group, which is called Bell Labs, they have to license every patent they own to any other American firm for free in return for you staying a monopoly. So what happened from that? So Bell Labs happened to have developed the transistor, the microchip, the laser, the cellular system, the satellite. Basically, the root pieces of the digital age were developed there. And so those free patents created Texas Instruments, Motorola, Intel, Fairchild Semiconductor, Comsat, and hundreds of other companies that grew out of these free patents. But, you know, Google doesn't do that. Google doesn't license its search algorithms or its autonomous car patents. In fact, it sues people to keep them from using. So maybe that's one possible solution. I mean, ultimately, it may be, and I'm not advocating this right away, but ultimately it may be that we have to break them up, that maybe Facebook has to sell Instagram. Maybe Facebook has to sell, WhatsApp. Maybe Google has to sell YouTube. That is the kind of remedies that have been implied in the past. But, you know, the antitrust divisions have been asleep since Reagan. Mm. And I'm not sure under Trump they're going to wake up.
Right. Well, Jonathan Taplin is Director Emeritus of the Annenberg Innovation Lab at the University of Southern California. His new book is Move Fast and Break Things, How Facebook, Google, and Amazon Cornered Culture and Undermined Democracy. We've got a lot more information about the book at our website, radioboston.org. Jonathan Taplin, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.